Well, with this new year and new faces here, and it's good to see new faces, but with this new year that we've just begun and with these new faces, I want to bring your attention a little bit to a part of what we here at Grace Bible Fellowship believe and what we believe to be very important. And if you're really new, you may have heard us use the phrase, or you may have heard it in some way, hear the phrase rightly dividing, and wondered either what that means or if it is of any importance. And the fact is, people, those sitting around you, often, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, often the people who are sitting around here travel from far distances to come to this church, and a considerable distance. And the truth is that's not too common in most churches. Rightly dividing churches, that's actually very common. Actually, most of them that I've been to, you go to, and you've got people who are traveling 30, 40, 60 minutes. And we've got those here who do that. But in most churches, when you think about it, most of them tend to be those of the neighborhood. Or if they've moved a little bit away, they stayed with their church, that's for sure. But it's not a common thing. And we may not be a large church, but it is very common for the people who attend here, like I said, to travel great distances because they understand and they want to hear the word presented rightly divided. And the question is rightly dividing that important? And it reminded me of here recently, Valerie and I were searching for a new home, and we were looking to move closer here to the church, and we were looking in these 55 plus communities, and I won't tell you why we're eligible for that, so I can say that when I'm 10 feet away, I won't get smacked. But we were looking at these, and it's like anytime anybody looks at, you know, something like that in particular, you're looking at the amenities, you know, what they have. They got a nice pool. They got a workout room. What kind of amenities do they have? You might look at the cost. What is it going to cost for me to move to that area? Ultimately, what you're looking to see is how that place fits into your life. And you see, what's unfortunate is oftentimes people approach how they choose a church in much the same way. They choose it from, how is that church going to fit into my life? Is it too far to drive to? Is it going to be too inconvenient? What are the amenities that they have there? You know, does it have a good music program? But unfortunately, that's not what we're supposed to be concerned about. We're not supposed to be looking for a church based upon amenities. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 with me. This is your memory verse if you have a bulletin. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Many people are familiar with what this has to say, especially the first half of this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we see, who will have all men to be saved? They're talking about God. The Lord would have all men to be saved. But it doesn't end there. We understand that the Lord would have all men to be saved. But it doesn't end there. It continues, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is not for you to be comfortable in your church. God's desire is not for you to go to a church that brings you feel-good messages. It's not a church that's, you know, how is the pastor dressed? It's not a church of, you know, well, I'd rather have you know, this kind of music. It's not about going to the nearest church or to find a place with good children's program or music program. These are the things oftentimes people are looking for whenever they're picking out a church. And that's fine when you're trying to pick out a neighborhood you want to live in. But God's desire is for us to come into the knowledge of the truth, not to be worried about the music program, not to be worried about even the children's program. And I've shared with some of you, Valerie and I, again, back in St. Louis, before I was a pastor, there wasn't a children's program. And we had five kids, right? Was it six kids? Ooh, that was bad, wasn't it? Six kids. But I promise you, I'd never forget the anniversary. I promise you that. We had six kids, and there was no, the youth were our kids. And there were times in which we felt a temptation. We never really seriously considered it, but we had a temptation of, you know, there isn't a children's program here. And so did we decide to leave and look out something else? No, actually, what did we do? We started a children's program. And so I can fully grasp and understand the desire. But church, what is God's desire when it comes to you picking out a church? Well, here we know that it's God's desire for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not to find the prettiest church or the friendliest people. God's word places absolutely no emphasis on any of those things whatsoever. Not about how the outside looks, not about how the people dress inside. What he places an emphasis on is the teaching. That's what his emphasis is on. His desire for you, me, and all of us is to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the question is, do all fundamental churches teach the truth? Well, I think we can answer that simply by the fact that how many of them disagree with one another. So some, not everybody can be right, right? But there is a truth. And so your job, when you're looking for a church, is to find who you believe is actually telling the truth. Because that's the emphasis of what's going on. If God's desire is for the body of Christ to grow, to mature, then we cannot simply accept if the church is getting the gospel right and think that that is enough. Now, it's very important that the church get the gospel right. There's no doubt about it. But if you think that if you're going to go to a church and that because they get the gospel right, that's good enough, I'm sorry. There is so much more that we need to come to know besides simply the gospel itself. Now, the gospel is the power of God under salvation. And so I'm not denying the fact that, boom, you start there. But remember the Corinthians? Remember what Paul says to the Corinthians? He tells them basically, I keep having to take you back to milk. I can't get you on the meat. I keep having to take you back to the gospel. And why is he saying this? He's saying this because he wants people to grow out of just the gospel. He wants them to grow from making the foolish mistakes because they didn't have the knowledge. And so he has to keep taking them back to the truth of the gospel and try to build the foundation back up. God's desire as far as is to learn the truth, to learn these things. And Scripture gives us answers beyond just the gospel. Look at Matthew chapter 18 with me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. My question for you this morning, keep in mind, something can be biblical. In other words, it's in the Bible, but it's not for you, to you. Okay? So my question to you this morning is, do you think that any time there is two of us together, does that mean that we can bound God to do what we ask? No. Well, Matthew 18:18, what does it say here? It says, this is the Lord Jesus. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, that's biblical. That's biblical. But does that mean that that's something that you can declare for yourself? You see, that's an important question to ask because people get confused all the time about this, and then it affects their faith. What about healing? Jesus' apostles, they had this power, they had this authority to heal. But how does that work today? A church needs to be able to give you the answers of why that is not for us today. Because, it's, like I said, the simple fact of the matter is many people out there, they want to claim this for themselves, and the fact of the matter is this is a promise to the 12 apostles, not to the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't make your request known unto God. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask Him for healing. Doesn't mean that He won't heal you. But this is a specific promise. Don't spiritualize this, people. The Lord Jesus makes this very plain, very clear. Whatsoever you ask, what you bind on earth shall be done. It's a specific promise. And so whenever it comes to picking out a church, you need to be able to look beyond just the gospel. You need to be able to explain why this is the case. Because I will tell you, as a pastor, seldom a week goes by that I'm not dealing with somebody who's confused about this issue. Seldom a week goes by that I'm not dealing with somebody who's very concerned because they're trying to name it and claim it. You can understand the Bible without some complex system or need of professionals. See, you go talk to some churches and they're going to explain this away in some theological explanation. But I don't believe that that's the way the Bible was written. I don't believe that you need to have a theological degree. I don't believe you need to have a bunch of letters after your name. I don't believe that you have to go get trained and have to get explained to. I believe that you can hand this Bible to somebody, and by faith, if they take it, that they can believe it and they can understand, is what I believe. I don't need to have a theological degree to understand it. People often say to me, my eyes have been opened, and I love studying the Bible now, whenever they come to understand rightly dividing. They'll have experienced confusion and not getting answers that they believe are acceptable. Matter of fact, most of the people I know that go to a Grace Church or rightly dividing church, it's specifically because they've got questions they're not getting answered the right way. And so they seek out to find the truth. And that's exactly what God's Word tells people to do, to go out and seek to find the truth. And so, like I said, many people will say that their eyes have been opened. When people can't understand what the Bible says, oftentimes they think it contradicts itself. This right here. I've talked to people who've walked away from their faith. Now, great thing is Jesus is faithful even when we're faithless. So they don't lose their salvation. But I've talked to people who've walked away from God because of these verses right here. Simply because it wasn't explained to them how to rightly divide and how that works. People will begin to stop studying their Bible because they don't think it makes sense. They think it contradicts itself. So, but what is the scriptural basis for rightly dividing? And we're going to talk what the basis is of that and what it really is. But understand, church, the fact of the matter is your goal, again, is to seek the truth, not to get comfortable. Because there are people out there, again, there's other members of the church, other members of the body of Christ, who are desperately seeking answers. And each of us need to do our due diligence to study so that we can give those answers. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So where do we get this rightly dividing? If that's a new phrase to you, maybe you've never heard it. Or again, maybe you've been here for a few weeks and you've heard and not really sure what it is. Well, this is where we get it from. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Start in verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, I'm going to cut in real here and tell you something. This verse right here, that was not true for Israel. Okay? That's true for the body of Christ. Before the body of Christ began, this idea, if we believe not, he abideth faithful, that was not true for the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, you go examine what the Lord said in his earthly ministry, and you go examine what Deuteronomy and all of these warnings have to do with. It was specifically a warning to Israel that if they reject his way and if they believe not, they weren't guaranteed like we have this guarantee. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance. So in other words, pay attention. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the first part of this, we're supposed to study. So you have to study itself. You can't just listen to what the pastor says from the pulpit. You got to be involved in the Bible study. You got to go check and see if what I'm saying is true. I don't want anybody to take what I have to say as true without going to check it. Study to show yourself as approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's our what we get rightly dividing, rightly handling. It literally means, in the Greek, it literally means to cut straightly. That's what this means. Rightly dividing literally means to cut it straight, to separate it, to divide. And if you think of like a meat cutter, and a meat cutter who separates one part of the animal from another part, and he's supposed to cut it the right way. When you're handling the Word of God, you need to handle it the right way. You can't just pick up, I'm having this issue, God, and just turn it and say, okay, there's my answer. And so how you handle the Word of God is very important. And look at verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain, meaning fruitless words, fruits that don't build up. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So in other words, how you handle the Word of God is important. But shun those that don't do it, because when you don't do it, that's the result. The result of not rightly dividing the Scriptures is what this is telling us. These are the results. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be going to a church that does this the wrong way. So this is why we believe that it's important. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 with me. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Here we're going to show a little bit more about this idea of rightly dividing, rightly separating the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here Paul is rejoicing about the news that he's getting. And he says, my prayer is that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. Now, this word excellent means differ. Things that differ. If you're familiar with the name C.R. Stamm, he wrote that excellent, excellent book, Things That Differ. That's where this comes from. Things that differ. There are things in the Scripture that differ, and when you cut straightly, when you rightly handle the Word of God, you separate the things that are differ, and you understand what it is for you, and what is not for you, and what was to somebody else. And that's what rightly dividing ultimately is about. And you can see this same word for excellent. 1 Corinthians 15:41 talks about it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 talks about it. But here, the instruction from Paul is that my prayer is that you abound more in love and in knowledge and judgment, and that you approve the things that differ. And how is it that you do that? Well, rightly dividing is between the things that differ. between instructions to others versus our instruction. And the way that you do that is by separating between what Paul calls prophecy and mystery. It's very simple. See, man put a break in between Malachi and Matthew. But I don't think that that's how we should decide how we rightly divide, is because man put the break between Malachi and Matthew. I think we better pay attention closely what Scripture says, because, again, it's God's desire for each of us to come under the knowledge of the truth. And so, just like you shouldn't take my word for it, what it says, you shouldn't take somebody else's word for where the division takes place. You should study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed. And how do you divide between prophecy and mystery? Well, you divide between the phrase time past and but now. There's time past, the things that took place in the time past, and the things that take place in the but now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. I want to show you some of the Isaiah chapter 60. Show you, we'll get more into the whole prophecy and mystery. But understand here, I mean, Isaiah was a prophet, right? So I guess if he was a prophet, then what he brought was prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 60, what we're going to see here is the Gentiles are going to come to the nation of Israel and to their light. Look at verse 3. He says, and the Gentiles. Now, who's a Gentile? Not asking if you are, but if to be a Gentile, you basically can't be a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay. So, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Well, whose light would that be? Israel's light. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. And so this is a prophecy of what's going to take place in the tribulation period, prophesying that the time is going to come in which all the Gentiles are going to come to you, nation of Israel, in the brightness of your glory because of Israel's special place. Look at Exodus chapter 15 or chapter 19 with me. Exodus chapter 19. Israel was the people in which God was working with for so long. And he did not just simply say, I'm tired of you. He's got a plan for them. This time passed. Look at Exodus chapter 19, beginning verse 5. Now therefore, if you obey me, and you is the nation of Israel, this is Exodus, Moses is leading this, and so in chapter 20 is whenever you see the Ten Commandments. Moses goes up to the mountain. He brings the Ten Commandments down to the people, and he gives them to them. And here the Lord says, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you, Israel, shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Above all people would be Gentiles. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Israel has a place, a precious, precious place. Right now they don't. They did, and they will in the future. But this being times past, God has not got the door open to all Gentiles. He does now. But now is what we see today. Time passed, that was not the case. In John chapter 4, it says, salvation, the Lord, talking to the woman at the well, says, you don't know who you worship. Salvation is of who? The Jews. Why? Because salvation wasn't of the Gentiles. If a Gentile wanted to be saved, he had to go through the nation of Israel. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. This is why you have to rightly divide, because there's a simple answer to this verse in here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Lord speaking to his 12 apostles, he says in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Now, did he send them forth to go preach the gospel of the kingdom? No. I'm sorry, the gospel of the grace of God, no, the gospel of the kingdom, yeah. But he sends them forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there's a very simple answer for this, so we don't have to spiritualize it. It's not simply because they were closer. No. Time after time after time, what we see is Jesus, his ministry was to the nation of Israel. And to rightly divide is to understand why that was the case. And why and when but now happened. Because but now, it isn't a message to, if you were here for Sunday school, we're looking at the idea that Paul is saying that I'm going to the Gentiles. But here, they weren't allowed to. And it's a simple, simple explanation. And the difference is clearly seen when you compare a couple of verses here. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 29. By this point, the Apostle Paul has been saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved and he was sent to the Gentiles. And here, look at Romans chapter 3, starting verse 29. It says, is he, talking about God, the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Well, he answers the question, yes, of the Gentiles also. Now, the question is, was that always true? Now, some might say, well, yeah. Well, you disagree with Scripture then. You're disagreeing with what Scripture says. Compare that to Ephesians chapter 2. And remember what that just said. Ephesians chapter, it says, is he the God of the Gentiles, only the Jews? Is he God of the Gentiles also? And he says, yeah. What does Paul tell us in Ephesians chapter 2? Look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, wherefore, remember that you being in, there's that phrase, two words, time past, Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time past, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, there's a difference between time past and but now. In time past, God was dealing with the world through the nation of Israel. And if we want to try to take the promises, the instructions from time past and apply this from today, we're going to see all kinds of confusion. This is why we see all kinds of confusion. Am I supposed to tithe? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? All of these things that we see the confusion in Scripture is a result of simply not rightly dividing. Here, it's very clear that but now, things have changed. And so, yes, when we think of rightly dividing, we rightly divide. We divide between prophecy and mystery. Jesus came to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers. That means prophecies. Jesus came to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus says, I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul says that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. Now that's, again, to some, that sounds foreign to them. But that's okay if it sounds foreign. Study it. See if it's true. Because I can tell you, almost anybody who's here at this church or at a rightly dividing church that comes and sticks around, whenever they study it, they find out that, wait a minute, this makes sense for the first time. I can understand my Bible. I don't need to have, again, a theological degree. I don't have to have some professional describe. I can tell you right now, if I want to try to understand how the human body works, I'm going to go to a professional, a doctor, to tell me how that stuff works. If I've got an ear infection, I'm not going to just try and figure it out on my own. But your Bible does not require you to be a professional. Your Bible simply requires you to study by faith. And if you study and you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and you realize that I need to rightly divide, well, I better figure out what that rightly dividing means. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Rightly dividing, people, is so important to all of the misunderstandings that we have in Scripture. Why do some churches believe that you have to perform sacraments? They don't rightly divide the Scriptures. Why do some churches believe that you have to tithe? Because they don't rightly divide the Scriptures. Again, when you consider the differences in most churches, why do some churches believe that the church, the body of Christ, began in Acts chapter 2? Because they don't rightly divide the Scripture. Why do some churches believe that the body of Christ has replaced the nation of Israel? Because they don't rightly divide the Scriptures. The list goes on and on and on. Look here at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 25. Here the Apostle Paul is talking. He says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you," to the Gentiles, "to fulfill the word of God." In church, I'm telling you, if you're not used to rightly dividing, I wouldn't read over that verse too quickly. I would stop and study that verse for a while. That right there is worth your... Well, Mike makes fun of me because I spend 3 weeks on three words. You should spend 3 weeks on studying this verse, at least, and find out what in the world is Paul talking about. He says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery." We better figure out what this mystery is. "Which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." You see, Paul says, "I was given a dispensation by God. The reason I'm a minister," he says, which means the reason he's an apostle, the reason he was saved on the road to Damascus, the reason all the events that happened to the Apostle Paul is because a dispensation was given to the Apostle Paul, and it has to do with this mystery. And he says this mystery was hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So you got time past, and you got but now. Verse 27, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." What is that? "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, that's part of the but now, not the time past. The time past wasn't that your promises is based on Christ in you. The time past, the salvation was based upon the covenants that were made. And that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "You Gentiles, you're not part of the commonwealth of Israel. You don't have the promises that they have." But see, here's what we see. Paul comes and he comes to preach this mystery, which is Christ in you. Look at Romans chapter 16. Here at the end of this book, we see Paul, again, who says, "I was saved for this purpose." The reason why I was saved is because I was sent to preach among the Gentiles what has been hidden for all eternity. In church, let this, you know, we're studying Genesis. In our midweek Bible study, keep in mind that when it says that it was hidden God from the foundation of the world, from the beginning of the world, that means before God ever created the earth, he had this mystery. And guess who he didn't tell? He didn't tell Satan, and he didn't tell Adam, and he didn't tell Cain and Abel, and he didn't tell Abraham, and he didn't tell Isaac, and he didn't tell Jacob. And I can keep going. Didn't tell the 12 disciples. Who did he tell? The Apostle Paul. Because it's but now. And so when we talk about rightly dividing, church, when we think of the title of this message, the importance of rightly dividing, if it's important to God, it better be important to us. And I'm telling you, God kept a mystery for over how many thousands of years from all of mankind. And then one day comes, And he takes this man, the chief of sinners, and he turns him and he flips him on his side. Wonder how Satan felt about that one. See, Satan didn't know either. Here in Romans chapter 16, look at verse 25. It says, "Now to him," talking about the Lord Jesus, "that is able to is of power to establish you." In other words, to establish you, okay? "According to my gospel." And when he says my gospel, don't take that generically. Don't take that mean as, well, he's talking about the same gospel that Jesus preached when he walked the earth. No, he's not. He's talking about that special revelation that he was given. He says, "It's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ." How is it he's preaching Jesus Christ? "According to the revelation of the mystery." Not according to prophecy. See, Peter says in Acts, early Acts, he's preaching Jesus according to the prophecy. All the prophets spoke of him. Paul says, "I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching Jesus according to the revelation of the mystery," and finish the verse here, "which was kept secret since the world began." And in those two words, "but now is made manifest. And by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of the faith." You see, now this is made known to all the nations. Why? Because in times past, Israel was God's chosen nation. And that continued all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why he could say, "I've come only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Because Israel still had their preeminence. But then Israel rejected God. And so he sets them aside and he begins. Because, church, and here's the reason. And you should say amen and hallelujah to the fact that he set Israel aside. Because if he didn't, we'd still be without hope, without Christ in the world. You see, when you read that opening verse, "who would have all men to be saved," is rightly divided important? Your salvation is based on it. Your salvation today is based on the fact of rightly dividing. Because there was a time when the only way you were going to be saved is if you were a proselyte and you came in under the Jews, which is what we see happening in the Gospels. But God says, "My desire is for all men to be saved." And so he knew Israel wouldn't be that nation of priests in a timely fashion. And so Romans 11, Paul explains what happened to the nation of Israel. And Paul explains, "You Gentiles don't boast. Don't think that you replace them. Because all the promises of God are going to happen." And he says that those promises are going to take place. And so with us, church, is rightly dividing important? Well, I'll tell you, rightly dividing clears up the confusion that's caused by not recognizing that even though God doesn't change, the way he deals with man has changed. And I'll say that again. God never changes. He's always been a God of love, grace, mercy. It always, always took faith to please God. But the way he's dealt with man has changed. There's no doubt about that. And rightly dividing is understanding that we, the body of Christ, need to follow the instructions here, and we need to understand the instructions of Jesus Christ based upon the preaching of the mystery. That is rightly dividing. And I ask and I submit to you, is it important that you go to a church that's going to teach you that? Or is it more important you go to a church that has a band? Or is it more important that you go to a church that has a great children's group? Or is it more important that you go to a church that's right down the street? Because God's desire is for each and every one of us to come under the knowledge of the truth, and he warned us specifically the ramifications for not doing so. And I'll just simply close by, if anybody who's hearing this hasn't put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understand, then versus but now. The great and glorious news about but now, in order for you to receive salvation, you don't have to go to Israel. You don't have to fly over to Jerusalem and try to obey those who sit in Moses' seat, which is exactly what the Great Commission says. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to come up here and walk up here. You don't have to put money in the plate. You don't have to recite a special prayer. You don't have to ask God into your heart. Ephesians 1 is very clear. All you must do is believe the gospel of your salvation, which is, I believe that Jesus Christ and his finished work paid my debt fully for all my sins. The church, again, that's but now. That wasn't then. So my hope and prayer is that when you examine the importance of rightly dividing, that you would agree with me, and along with, I know, many people here, yes, rightly dividing matters. Where you go to church, where you go to Bible study, how you handle the scriptures, most certainly matters, because it matters to God. Will you stand with me as we pray? As we close in prayer this morning, Tim, would you close us in prayer?